welcome to the Working Hands Podcast. I'm Tony of Woodland Iron, joined by Keith of Blackthorn Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hi. As always, I'll thank Sabretooth, one of our sponsors. If you go to sabretooth.com, you can get all your power carving discs and burrs. If you use code WH, you could save 10% on your whole order. Go there, get power carving today. They're fantastic tools. I use them. You should too.
And I'll take a moment to thank our sponsor, Maritime Knife Supply, your one-stop shop for makers, home for abrasives, steel, tools, and more. Save on shipping by getting everything from one supplier. And you can find them at maritimeknifesupply.ca and .com.
What is going on, Tony?
Not much. It's been pretty quiet. I'm in the kind of more of work week on our between recordings, so.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, we're recording just a couple days after we recorded the last episode because of work schedules.
Yeah, I'm on to doing a little extra time for a shutdown that we're doing, so.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, you know, job pays way better.
You can change that by going to patreon.com/workinghandspodcast.
No. It's not why we do this.
It's a little bit.
A little, maybe. Not really.
Yeah.
How about you? What's up?
Well, I told you last week I was going to start that Fordham teardown.
Yeah, you did.
So I tore it down, and now I'm just waiting on... I bought, like, this Fordham rebuild kit, but it doesn't come with, like, new wires and stuff, so... I wanted to get the specific wire. Like, have you ever gone to like Home Depot or something and tried to pick up like an extension cord wire or something, and they're all that weird, shiny, gross plastic outside, and they never match like the factory, like that, what is it? It's like a rubberized coating. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's
like a dull finish. It's kind of like a softer rubber, and I don't know what all those different things are. So I went to our guy, Lucas, over at Manmade, and I asked him, I was like, how do I get this, like the actual like rubber coated extension cord or power cord that's on every machine, but you can't go to like a home store or electrical supply store and buy it. And he's like, you can, if you want to add your own ends on. I'm like, I can add my own ends. That's fine. And then he told me what it was. I have to look it up because it's weird.
Oh, okay, I know what you mean. I got for my 2x72 when I did it. I went to Harrison Rome is a electrical supply place here, and they got me basically it's extension cord, but it's like heavy duty. Like it wasn't cheap. Like it was a fair bit of cost to it, but it's one and done kind of thing. Like I'll never have to worry about doing anything with my my grinder at this point.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, well, other than when I put 220 in and I have to change the plug to a 220 plug, which I think I can do with the plug I got.
My internet's not working, but it's like S-M-O-O or something, S-J-O-O. I forget what he sent me. Some reason my phone is not working. Give me 1 second. S-J-O-O is the type of wiring you want to get for that. So when he told me that, I went, I guess you could buy it at like Home Depot and stuff off the reel, like by the foot. But of course I went online and they said, oh, it'll be there tomorrow. And then it won't be here for 2 days. So I got a delay in shipping. But so I bought that and then I could start reassembling it. But then I had to buy... which came today, I had to buy a new switch for it because the original switch was busted up. And whoever was in that, somebody had like bypassed the switch on the inside and they just left like exposed wires in there. I'm like, man, this thing would have been a nightmare. Luckily, I did tear it. Like, luckily, there was a tear in the old wire.
To make you start digging
old,
in.
You know, like probably 40 years old or whatever. So, like, there was a tear on the outside extension cord, and there was no bare wire there, but the actual outer casing was done. So, I'm like, let me just replace all this, as opposed to just wrapping tape around it, you know?
Gotcha.
So, then I decided to take it all apart, and then I got this cleaner from from CRC. It's like some sort of electronics cleaner. So why I had it all apart, it's made like to clean your motor, like electric motors, like the components of an electric motor without deteriorating anything on there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I got
it's not,
that.
Not brake cleaner, is it?
No. No. It probably is brake cleaner.
Oh, it shouldn't be. I got a story about brake cleaner, but we'll save that for later.
Yeah. So I bought it, and it comes with like that red straw nozzle thing.
Right.
And like an idiot, I go to spray it on, and I just want to see, like, is it really just going to clean off this like mess of gunk immediately or not? I go to spray, and I don't know what it did when I first sprayed it on, because as soon as I sprayed it, it comes out with such velocity, and I wasn't thinking, and it hits the motor and sprays right back up into my face. So if you're gonna buy that stuff, wear safety goggles. Don't spray full force before you know how much is coming out at once. So,
or check your aim, one of the two.
My aim was perfect. I'm pretty sure I got exactly where I wanted it. All the ribs in the motor like sprayed everything back up at me.
Okay, so careful of ricochet.
Yeah, it's the ricochet that you got to worry about. But it did wind up cleaning up beautifully. So as long as it does what it says and doesn't corrupt any of those parts, it's going to be a nice clean motor when I put it back together.
Nice. Yeah, so the story I had for brake cleaner, it's a stolen story, but when I was working as an apprentice as a millwright, the journeyman I was working under, he had worked as a auto mechanic for a while as well, so kind of some guys kind of go between the two trades. Anyways, he was saying he worked at a Ford dealer. Well, that really doesn't matter, but he worked at a dealership. And he was cleaning his hoist up, and he used brake cleaner to clean his hoist. And then he went to fire up his hoist before the brake cleaner really dissipated. And he said, blew the motor up, like the power box and everything. He said, blew the cover right off of it.
Oh, I believe it.
So that stuff's pretty potent.
Yeah.
It's basically gasoline in a can.
Yeah, this stuff that I'm using, it is non-flammable. There's no flash point on it. So,
oh, okay.
It's made to use in electric motors and stuff. But it's got a pretty potent smell. Like, I had to open up the door to the garage.
It smells like death.
No, it actually smelled pretty good, but it was potent. You're like, I shouldn't be breathing that, you know? So, yeah. So that's pretty much since we last talked. That's about as far as I got on that.
Well, sounds like you're somewheres.
Oh. Wait. Oh, no, go ahead.
Just waiting for parts is all, it becomes part of it some days.
Yeah, but it's one of those old Fordhams. If you're into Fordhams, I don't know if you are. It's a CC motor. Like, now they have the SRs, the new one they have, the SR and the TX. This is the old CC motor, and it's nice, but we pulled it all apart because she wanted to have it painted, or, you know, they were ugly, so we were going to paint it. So she picked out a color, and we painted it, and I pulled off the old Fordham tag, so now I'm going to make a new tag for it.
Oh, okay, so you can
like
laser.
A brass tag, so I ordered brass tags for it.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But I also got in some steel from Maritime I'm going to make some stuff with on the laser. So I'm pretty excited about that. But that's a project, upcoming project. Yeah, not much else going on in my world.
Yeah, the exciting thing that happened this week for me, and actually just happened like an hour ago. I'm trying out those, you know, those shop lights that you see with the panels on them that, so it goes into a normal light bulb, like a normal light bulb socket.
And yeah, then they have the little very well.
The wings that come off of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like you didn't have a good experience with these.
Go ahead.
Anyways, my experience in the first 10 minutes I had them lit up was that it's going to work for my basement area.
Are they not some of the brightest lights for a one light bulb situation you've ever used?
They are, but I didn't point them all the way down. I have them.
Yeah,
like,
you point them out so it's not as bright.
Yeah, that's what I did. There's still some shadows with them, but it's more because of how short the basement is, and then the distance between the lights.
Like, right.
It's a long run, so there's
How many are you using?
I was looking at it just in what I quickly figured out is I think I'll need 5, and I'll do my entire the other side of the basement from where I'm at.
Five. What wattage are you getting?
What do you mean?
Like, what wattage is it equivalent to?
Oh, I would say they're probably 100 watt equivalents. Like, they're
okay.
They're pretty potent, but it's just the distance between the lights is the problem. They're still kind of spotlighty.
In my garage, I had 2 of those like screw-in type light bulbs, so I bought 2 of them, and they lit up my garage like it was daylight. No shadows, no nothing.
Yeah, so initially what happened was I was like, I should try those. My garage is really bad. It's 2 light bulbs in a 20 by 20 garage. It's not way underlit. And I was like, I should try these. And then once I got them here, I was like, I should try these in because we've been talking about the basement. Like, the basement project is basically going to be my spring is the basement. We're getting everything cleaned out of it. All the old crap is going. And the intent was to then put LED strip lights in. Like, you're in the normal, like, four foot strip light. But then I got thinking about, like, the logistics of it. They only come with a couple foot cord between each one. So you really, it takes quite a few to cover the distance. So, and maybe there's a spot, and if anybody knows where you can get the longer cords to go between them, maybe that's what I'll end up going with. But what I was looking at, because what I'm thinking about now is taking, I have other lights in that space, but they're on different circuits. Like, some are on pull cords, and I don't want that. I want to go in the door, flip the switch, and have the entire place lit. Right now, I flip the switch, and I get 2 lights out of the 5 that are in the room. And I have to walk over and pull cords for the other 3. So it's kind of a pain. So I don't know. I want to have that space just one and done. So I'm going to add 1 light, and I'm only going to put the basement's got a bit of a weird shape. It's kind of an L. But anyways, I want to do 2 down the main, or 4 down the main body, and then 1 over top of where would be my work table. So work table and the chop saw and all that kind of stuff. So,
right.
But definitely something you don't want to look up at, though. That's maybe a little off-putting, and it might be a reason to, the ones that I have right now might go in the garage, and something a little softer might go in the basement.
Yeah, so I've been using those things for a couple of years now, and they're nice. They put off a ton of light, and I have 2 in my garage, and I have other lights because I have high ceilings in my garage. It's like 13 feet or something. So I have like almost like a loft area above like my toolboxes and workbench area.
Mm.
So I have LED strips underneath that loft area just to light up those areas.
Right.
Well, like where I'd be working, or if I'm going through a toolbox or something, there's a light there. So I have the ones up in the lights, and I have to replace them like every 6 months. They don't last.
Oh, no.
No, I'm on my 3rd set now, and now I'm down to only 1 out there. And it's, I haven't replaced the one that went recently because I don't know if I want to buy them again. They put off the most amount of light, and I have them like probably at like 30 degree angles going up that way.
Yeah, I got you.
It's not so much light underneath it. And it kind of lights up the whole space because I painted the whole garage white. So it's bright in there anyway.
Gotcha.
But it's just, they keep dying on me. Like the one that I just turned it off because it's like a strobe light now when it turns on.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, I mean, I hope I have a better experience, but yeah, it's definitely a concern. I mean, I know I'm buying something off Amazon that's, well, they're not even cheap. Like, it's basically it's a combination of LED strips into these panels or whatever. And I forget the numbers on it, but it's,
I think mine were like 30 a pop.
I think mine were less, but I happened to catch it on a deal.
Mine came from Home Depot and Lowe's.
Well, here, I'm bringing up my Amazon order to have a look. Oh, yeah. So they're 6,500K. It says they're 200-watt garage lights.
Mm-hmm.
And they were $33 Canadian for two. So that's actually not as bad, but that's still, it's still pretty pricey for what it is. But that's what I was looking at.
It's not pricey if they last like LEDs. It's pricey if they keep burning out for whatever reason. I got one from my dad at his house in his garage, and his burned out, and I had to replace it. But the replacement lasted, so I don't know. You know what they say.
Buy once, cry once.
No, the brightest bulbs burn out fast.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I don't know. Shop lighting is one of those weird, weird things. I feel like no one's ever happy with their shop lighting. It's like a shop layout situation. No one's ever happy with their shop layout.
Yeah, I think more of a shop layout that you have to be ever evolving because you're always changing projects. And I really like the...
What goes hand in hand with that, though, is your shop lighting, right?
Yeah,
so
true.
If you're changing your layout all the time, you need to change your lighting.
Yeah. That, well, I guess with the layout, like, I really like the layout of my small shop, but then now that I'm thinking about different things in the shop, the immovable
anvil
object
right in the center,
is becoming kind of a pain.
For those new
sometimes.
Listeners... Tony buried a 4x4. He built a 4x4 platform for his anvil and buried it 4 feet in the ground.
Yeah.
In the middle of the shop.
A lot of fours. A lot of fours in that.
Yeah. Is it a 400-pound anvil too?
No. I bet you the whole thing weighs 400 pounds though. No, probably doesn't. Well, depending on how soggy the lumber is right now. Yeah, it's built out of 4x4. And it's 4x4, so it's 16 4x4s as the base, and then it's down 4 feet.
That's crazy.
And then, well, it's 4 feet into the ground, and then I have the stump coming up, so it's another so many inches up off the deck.
Yeah.
So I forget the measurements now because
it works for you now. I mean, things ain't gonna change until you build a new shop. So.
Yeah, until that happens. But yeah, no, I get thinking about it because I was, what was I doing the other day? Oh, because we talked about the press and everything. I was thinking about where I'd set things up and how I'd kind of maneuver the shop to accommodate it. Because it's going to happen, just the question of when more than anything. But I was trying to figure out how my workflow would go because I have where the forge is and then where the vise is. And then I'm trying to figure out a spot. I only really have one spot that it can go, but because of the tail of the anvil sticking out over the stump, it's kind of in the path between the forge and where the press would be. So I'm thinking that what I'll end up doing is turning the anvil 90 degrees to, instead of having the horn point at the door, it would point like to one of the sides kind of thing.
Mm.
So, which honestly would be, really wouldn't be that big a deal. The only trouble is then it could affect my welding table because of the horn or the tail of the anvil pointing at the welding table. So there's a few things there, but
you'll make it work.
But I am really happy with my lighting in my shop. I have in that shop, I have, I think I have six 4 foot LED strips in that, in a 12 by 12 space. So I have a lot of light, have very few shadows. I think the only thing I would change is I'd try and get something more over top of, like more over top and concentrated over, over my, my vice. Because the vice is just a bit of a shadow. If I have the door shut and I'm not, and I don't have like some natural light coming in, I get a bit of shadow from the light being over top of me and casting a shadow down on the workpiece.
Do you run a delicate balance in a blacksmith shop with a lot of light versus being able to read the metal temp? Like, does that play a factor into it?
It can. I'm accustomed to the lighting in my shop, so I have noticed every now and again, like especially when we were at the Forge project, that what I thought was cold in my shop is probably hotter than I realize.
Yeah.
Because of my lighting is better. It's brighter. And like I'm running like, I think my light strips are 5,000K. So it's a fairly bright light. It's not yellow by any stretch. I guess it'd be a white light. I don't know. You understand those light numbers better than I do. But it's I do find I'm probably missing a little bit on that stuff, but probably means I definitely don't work stuff when it's too cold, because I'll get a dark color long before you would when it's, if the lower light, you'd see the red in the piece a lot longer.
I have it. So the main lights that I have come on with a switch, like the light switch, and then I have a separate switch to turn on just around my workbench. So I can turn off the real bright ones and then just work on the dimmer lights, which is good for like if you're sanding to a certain finish and you want to look down to see if you got all the marks out with your sanding and stuff. So, but aside from during the finish process, I don't want it ever dark. I want it bright, bright, bright.
Yeah. There is something to be said, because I mean, we talked with a few guys before about like the Forge and Fire guys that have been on that show, and they talk about how bright the studio lights are, and that's what people kind of lose when it's put on TV, is that like they can't see the colors as well as they kind of portray it. Like they have to, every now and again, I've seen in the last little bit, people taking the steel and putting it underneath the forge to have a look, to see it in a shadow, to see where their heat is.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I've seen that. I think that it's been a while. I really haven't watched that show. I haven't watched that show, I want to say a couple of years.
I've seen one episode.
Yeah. It's not for everybody, but it definitely got a lot of people into knife making.
I've tried it a couple times, but it's all the, it will kill. So stupid.
That's what some people love about it.
I know. I'm not one of those guys. Like, the knife, like, it's not that I'm against knives or anything, but, like, that whole genre of, like, I don't know what you want to call it, but, like, I'm just over it. Like, it's cool if you're 12. The knife, like, I appreciate a good knife and the handmade knives and all that quality and stuff, but that part of the show was always just, like, eye-rolling to me. But I appreciate the challenge that's put forth on the show.
Yeah, I definitely think the time frame is, and then the stress of it is, it would be something to try someday.
Do you think a show like that could work with another craft? I know they do Blown Away.
Yeah, I was going to say
Metal Shop Masters with our friend Stephanie.
Yeah,
like I really enjoyed that one. I just thought every piece having to be an art piece is kind of, I don't know, makes it tough, you know? Like the parameters they put out sometimes are rough, but they got to put it out there to eliminate people, so.
Yeah, I think Yeah, I'd like to see the Metal Shop Masters come back. I think that was a lot cooler than they allowed it to be. I think editing kind of killed it.
Oh, without a doubt, editing killed that show.
Yeah.
What about the Blown Away one's pretty good. Do you watch that one?
I am really impressed with Blown Away. I like it. I'm going to say I disagree with the first. So I disagree with who won the first year because I feel like they should have been out weeks before that. You know what I mean? Like,
remind me who won the first year.
I don't remember her.
Who I'm okay.
It's a woman. I can't remember her name.
Did she have the short hair? Did she come back in season two?
Yeah, she was back in one of the next seasons as a judge or.
Yeah, I felt like she shouldn't have won either. Like she should have been kicked out multiple times.
It's a weird one. I feel like she didn't do well in a few weeks, but her work after the fact, I think, is really good. I don't think that her skill set's there. I just didn't feel.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things.
I don't want to say it, but I feel like the fix was in on the first year.
I think that's one of those shows where they let her stay because they knew how talented she actually was, even if she didn't fit the brief.
Yeah, no, I feel like that. But I feel like since then, I think after the first season and the success that they had, they've come around on that. And I feel like people are getting a legit shake on it.
Yeah.
Like I've enjoyed it. I don't get me wrong. I still enjoyed the first season. Because I kept coming back. I think they're on season four now.
I think so, yeah.
It's three or four, I'm not sure. They have a new host too. The latest season I saw, there's a new host. I got about an episode or two in. But yeah, that's something I'm definitely gonna watch because I enjoyed that one. It's that one's a lot of fun. I like that one.
Yeah. Metal Shop Masters I like too, but I don't know. The timing and the editing didn't really work out. I don't know. I feel like they don't give these shows a fair shake. Like, obviously, Making Fun was a fun show, right?
Yeah.
Since we know those guys, maybe we're a little bit partial to it. But obviously, it had something there, right?
I think so.
And, I mean, it went to number one in the kids or whatever, and it was aimed towards kids. Mm. And maybe it wasn't a perfect show. But maybe if they had let it breathe in the next season to evolve into something that would be more mainstream, it would have been better.
Yeah, I think
you're. What? No, go ahead.
No, I think that the only trouble with, and don't get me wrong, I really enjoyed that show. Is the problem is that they're making it in a vacuum when they make it. So I feel on the first season, then the second season, they're definitely.
Which show are you talking about?
Making Fun.
Oh yeah,
right. Like they're making.
I thought you were talking about the things they were making, not making the show.
No. Okay. I'm talking about the environment of it.
Because, it dawned on me as soon as I asked my question.
because they're doing it in, well, they did it in 6 weeks or whatever it was. There was a time frame that they did it. They don't know how it's going to go. They've made these 10 shows or 8 shows or whatever it was, and then they put it out there. And now they've got all this feedback. I mean, they're two years since it was put out.
I don't know.
It's been a while. Anyway, so that now they got all this feedback. I think they've learned from it. I feel like they could have pushed into season two pretty easily.
Same thing with Metal Shop Masters. And then there was years ago, before any of these, there was the furniture one. You probably didn't watch it. It was mainly woodworking. But they had a furniture challenge show. I think Jory Brigham won it. I forget what it was called, but Common was one of the hosts. I could look up the name of it. Hold on.
Please hold. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
It was called Framework, and that was only one season, too, back in 07. Nope. Was it 07? No, 2015. That makes more sense. And it was good, but it was one of those ones, too, that if they had let it evolve, but they all have the same formula except for Making Fun, but like they're all make it and get voted off, make it and get voted off, where there's got to be a better way to do these things. Like maybe there's a different recipe for a woodworking show versus a metalworking show versus glass blowing or whatever. But they all follow the same ritual as the cooking shows, because cooking shows do so well.
They do, and it's insert drama here is part of the problem.
It's funny you say that, because I hate the drama in every show, and I hate the forced, we watch these cooking shows, because my wife likes these cooking shows, and I'm not saying I don't like them, right? That I don't get sucked into them. But the part I hate about it is, I hate a few things, but the part I'll talk about that I hate about them is the forced drama and the forced, like, they're trying to appeal to people's emotions, like, oh, I'm doing this for my mom who died 10 years ago. You know, like just cook food and move on. I don't need you crying over your food.
No, I'm with you, because I feel,
for me to support you.
I feel the same way, because there's always the sob story of like, oh, in 1992, I had a hangnail. It's a little ridiculous at times, but I get their formula, because it seemed that hardship, tragedy builds, like, people build interest in people when they see that. I get it, but it
builds none for me.
Yeah.
Zero.
But I don't know. We might be an oddity in that way, but I don't know, feel,
because
like,
I know
a lot
everyone,
of, yeah.
And they're like, oh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
You know,
but the Hollywood types seem to think that's how you build that.
Where are these people that enjoy that?
I don't know. I mean,
I have my guess.
Well,
I'll tell you after the show.
I work with a bunch of people who really like things like, what's that one? Oh, the one on the ship, Below Deck, the one where they're on like a charter ship and it's like the story is the crew.
Never heard of it.
Oh, man.
No, I've heard of it.
You've heard of
it? I've never seen it.
Yeah, I've never seen it either, but the guys talk about it, and it's like, it's like, oh,
I think,
man.
The same people who like that stuff are the ones who watch, like, what is that dating one? The Bachelor or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
All those type of things. Or Survivor.
Love is Blind. That one, yeah.
Now, Survivor is different, because they're playing against, I've never watched that either, but they're playing against each other and trying to formulate tribes and shit like that. So that's different. When you're in a cooking show, they're out there crying about their mom and what they're making, or my brother's cousin's nephew's dog's dog walker's buddy died, and he always liked cheeseburgers. So I'm going to make a cheeseburger for him. This is for you, Jonathan. Like, give me a break already. And it's always some weird conundrum like that. And the ones who don't have that weird story to tell, they're always like, I miss my kids. You're on a TV show, which, yeah, it lasts for 8 weeks or whatever. But the filming is, what, 3 weeks long at best?
Yeah.
Like, you're not that sad about the chance to win $100,000. Be away from your kids for 3 weeks, which you probably call every day on FaceTime when you go, like, give me a break.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard of the show Alone. They do that. That one happens more times than you shake a stick at, where they'll be like, oh, I just want to go home. But what they didn't, the first few seasons, they didn't tell you what they actually do is they take these people and they plunk them down at a base camp. And they give them 2 weeks of training prior to leaving. So they learn the area. That's why they know, like, oh, this is good to eat and that's good to eat. No, don't touch this and all that kind of stuff. Like, they're trained in the area. They give them like a, you know, an impromptu 2 week course, and then they plop them. But then there's always the homesick that always happens. It always seems to happen to one or two.
Yeah, but in that case, they've already been gone for 2 weeks, and they're alone, right? They film their own.
Yeah.
I've never watched it, but it's been explained to me. They have to film their own.
Yeah, they film everything themselves. Yeah,
they're alone. So when they're homesick, that's part of the show. When you're staying in a five-star hotel,
yeah,
and cooking gourmet food every day, there's no homesick part of that for you. You're probably happy you're away from your five bratty kids at home and you can actually get a full night's rest, and you come here and you make these fancy foods with other like-minded people. You're probably having the best time of your life.
Yeah, that one I have a hard time with, because I think it's kind of a short-sighted thing, because if you're there and you have that skill and then you're showcasing it on like national TV, like that few weeks could make you millions over your lifetime.
If you play your cards right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely worth it in the end. Like I would not have an issue with that, with having lost time with my kids in order to improve, you know, what our life's going to be like in the future.
Yeah.
I do have a real hard time with that one, where it's like you say, the alone one's different, because you're alone with your thoughts. You're alone with everything. They do on that show. They do once a week health check. They do visit them once a week, but they're instructed not to engage in conversation. If they're asked a question, unless it's something to do with that person's health, I think they're not allowed to talk to them. So they just show up, weigh them, check their blood pressure, check their sugars, do a bunch of like health tests, and then they walk away. So it's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That one I understand it on. That's one I understand it on. That one, which I've never seen, and Survivor, which I've never seen, I understand it on. But a cooking show where Blown Away or Metal Man, like I just don't get it for those type of shows.
Yeah, I have seen the opposite of that though too. I have seen a few people go, yeah, it sucks I'm away from my family, but I'm here to make our lives better. There's been some people that, you know, they've figured it out.
I'm going to root for that guy or that gal.
Yeah, same here.
You know, I'm not, like, the minute you start putting your sob story out, we all have sob stories, every one of us. I don't need to hear yours. I got my own, you know? I don't know. I feel like TV's pushing this false drama and this negative depression onto everyone.
I've always hated this contrived or false drama. Like I go to
TV to forget about stress and drama in my day-to-day life. Like I don't need to see your drama when you're out there trying to make $1 million on a TV show, like some reality show. It's just, it's like, I never got into, The Voice or America's Got Talent or American Idol, because that's what it was. Show me the struggles of how you got here. Bet you're a great singer. Just live with it. Go off and have a good time. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
God has gifted you with a voice. Go out there and sing. Have a good time. I don't need to hear your sob story on top of that. You're on the verge of making millions of dollars with a record deal, and I have to hear how you struggled to get where you're at? I don't care. Sing me the song.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you there. But that one's different too, because it's audience voting.
If you're voting for somebody on a show like, let's say, The Voice, where you're supposed to be voting on their voice because of their sob story,
yeah,
then you're not listening to their voice. Like, do you want this person to put out a record, or do you feel bad for them? There's two different things there, right?
No, you're right.
And the problem is, the people who are putting it out there are just trying to get that sob vote, because they don't care about the record deal, right? They just care about their ratings and if they can sell the next commercial. Has nothing to do with the outcome. How many people from American Idol are actually popular other than that first chick? A handful versus the 20-something seasons they had, right? You may know the names because you watched the TV show, but I don't, because I didn't. I don't even know what the first girl's name was, but she won, and now she has a TV show. you know, I've heard her songs. Great. If it really was about the talent or the singing, these people would be way more famous than they are.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I watched that when it first started, but it was because I was basically high school age, or just out of high school when that started. So
American Idol?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the first season because one of the guys, the guy who came in second, went to my brother's college.
Oh, okay.
And he knew him or something like that. So we watched it for him.
Gotcha.
And he made it all the way to second. And then he went on tour with him. And then they kicked him off the tour for whatever reason. And then he was doing the Dr. Pepper commercials. He was like the little 10% guy.
Oh, yeah?
That's the guy from American Idol.
We don't really get Dr. Pepper commercials up here. But
yeah, I'll send you some later. But getting back to the making TV shows, if there's good making TV shows like Blown Away or any of those, and you're watching them, comment on the reel on this post. I want to know what else is out there, because there's so much streaming TV out there that I don't know.
Yeah, I'd be curious, like anything outside of like North America as well. Like I think there's got to be. The Brits always seem to do it better, and then the Yanks decide to remake it in their own.
Yeah.
So
you ever watch that show? I think it's called Glow Up, the makeup artist one.
I think so. I've heard of it, I guess. I don't think I've watched it.
It's worth it. And there's another one that came before that. It was it was more like body painting. I like that one, is they have to like paint like a mural on like 10 different people, and they like, you don't know where the people are in the painting. It's pretty wild. It's called Skin Wars or something. That's old though.
Oh, okay.
But it was like a body painting, and then they would do like the photography of it. So you couldn't tell there was people in the scene, or like you'd have to body paint somebody who's like standing, like a guy will be standing up against the wall, and they have to paint him into the wall. So you can't see him, but he's there.
Gotcha. This is an oldie, but have you ever watched, it's a British show, it's called Junkyard Wars.
Yes.
That was my start into like making odd things, or like almost making it in a general sense, I guess, because it really looked at like the welding and like engineering stuff on the fly. And it was always, that show was, I always really liked that show.
Do you remember around the same time Monster Garage? Did you guys get that up there?
Yeah, we got that too. I was a little older when that came out. Like, I think I was working as an industrial mechanic when that.
I thought they were out at the same time.
I think Junkyard Wars was sooner, or was earlier, and I think there was a couple different versions of it.
Maybe we got Junkyard Wars when Monster Garage was out.
Yeah. So, yeah, Junkyard Wars was a lot of fun. I can remember this one guy, I forget his name on it. It's been so long now. It's probably been 20 years since I watched that show. But it had the old soup strainer mustache, like the big British mustache going. I remember that guy's face for some reason.
There was that. There was Mythbusters.
Yes.
Kind of a making show.
Yeah. It was more teaching.
Yeah. But, I mean, there was a lot of, like, making problem solving. They would show you every now and then. They wouldn't show you how they made everything, but.
Well, no. Some of the stuff they couldn't. it wasn't legal to show.
Yeah. But I want to know what making shows you guys are recommending. So leave it on the reel on Instagram for this episode. Even if it's out there. Like you don't think, like. Skin Wars, like, it's art, it's kind of making, but I don't care about food shows or music shows or talent shows.
Yeah, well, so when I stayed with Lucas and Dre coming down to the Forge event, we actually watched a couple episodes of
How to Get It. Now somebody just did a shot. We almost made the episode.
Oh no, we talked about camp before that.
Did we?
Yes. I said something about the Forge event before that.
So if you don't know, there's a running joke that it's a drinking game when you listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
If we mention the place up in New York, then you have to do a shot.
Yeah. So there's two for you, folks.
I didn't mention it.
No, just from earlier and then just this latest one. But anyways, getting back to my story before you interrupted me. Because, you know, once you interrupt me, then my stories are gone because my...
Just say it.
There's butterfly.
At Lucas and Dre's on your way to somewhere. Yeah.
So anyways, back to my story. It was like Ink Masters, the tattoo one.
Yeah.
But you could... It's one of those ones you could watch it on mute and it'd probably be better.
Yeah.
Because there's
a lot of these shows are that.
Because there's a lot of just forced, like, oh, I'm going to beat you. You're going to, you know, all this other stuff. And it's like, just do the tattoos. Shut up.
Yeah, the drama against each other and all that.
Yeah, like, I don't feel like people are like that on a day-to-day basis. I don't deal with people like that on a day-to-day basis.
You know what would be a great network to start, and it would cost millions of dollars, but I'm going to put it out there, is to start a network where you watch all those shows and you do the Cliff's Notes of it, right? Of all the shows, but it's not Cliff's Notes, like you're just given the highlights of who won or whatever. You knock out all the drama from all these shows. Just eliminate any of the drama. Condense the shows down to just whatever the show is really about, which is drama. So you're just taking all the fluff from Hollywood about what we consider the show is actually about. And you just watch like little 5-minute clips of every episode.
I was going to say, you could probably pare most shows from an hour down to 5 minutes. Especially if you've ever watched...
Are you going to say American Chopper?
No.
Orange County Choppers or whatever it was?
That was... Yeah. I watched a lot of that. I really...
Oh, me too.
I watched that until all of the Tuttle drama happened. The fighting back and forth was fine, but then when they actually started, like, separating, it got really weird. It was... it's a show that's based up here. It's called... It's Oak Island. What is the show's name?
Oh, The Curse of Oak Island?
The Curse of Oak Island.
Yeah, I never got into that one.
Oh, my God.
That's pure drama all the time, right?
Oh, it is. But it's like they go to commercial. Like they'll be talking about something, you know, oh, we found a coin. We think it might be from blah, 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 blah time. Like it's from 1400s or something. Well, before even Columbus was here. Anyways, and then they'll talk about that for like the last 5 minutes before they go to commercial. They go to commercial, they come back, and they recap almost the entire last 5 minutes, and then they move on to the next part of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, and this recap happens like 4 or 5 times during an hour episode.
Yeah.
And you're like, you just turned a half hour show into an hour show. And you really, even a half hour show is stretching it.
I forget who. I know Rob used to watch that from Green Street. I don't know if it was him or not, but somebody was telling me, they're like, I'm not watching that show, and I will not watch that show, because if they actually found something, it'd be all over the news. They wouldn't be like, oh, well, we found it off season, so we have to wait until we release the season to tell anyone that we found it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something, that's for sure. And then the thing of it is, for me, when they do the intro, they talk about a gentleman that lived on the island, and then all of a sudden was possibly the richest person in Nova Scotia in 1800s or 1700s or 1800s. And I was like, oh, I bet you I know where the gold went. Like,
yeah.
Like a farmer to, like, I get it. There's, you know, entrepreneurs that do well, and then but just in the words that they say, I'm like, so you're telling me that this guy in the 1700s went from being a farmer to possibly the richest person in Nova Scotia? I wonder.
There's your curse.
Yeah. Oh, man. Such a, ugh.
Anyway, speaking of gold, let's thank those patrons.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of gold. All right. All right, we'll start here. We have Corey of Odyssey CNC, Christy of Twisted Twine, Annette of 513 Woodworks, Full Steam Designs by Chris Powell, Lillian Archer Photography, David Beck with Makes, NV Wood Finery, and our top tier, we have Eastspoke Studios, Danelle Smith Christian, Brian Drennan, Lawrence of MaritimeKnifeSupply.com, Adam of Uncle Sam Metalworks, Brian Housewort of Workfort Podcast, Ed Johns of buttjoints.com, Brad of Brad's Customs, David and Joanna at Wido Works, Chad of Chad's Custom Creations, Ryan of Gnomehammer Forge, David of DW Wood Builds, Matt of First Do Construction, Daniel and Drizzy, Andrew of Hatch Made It, Jim of the Tradesman Channel, and Max of Camp Arrowhead. Thank you all. We really do appreciate it.
Yes, thank you all. It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. All of our patrons are automatically entered into the Gnomehammer giveaway, as we mentioned every week. This week, or this month, I know what it'll be. It's going to be a dog's head hammer, which I have seen one that is like it, and it's a pretty cool looking hammer. So if you're on the fence about becoming our patron, that's one added bonus on top of our appreciation for you. But yeah, all of our patrons get entered as well as a couple other podcasts and his own patrons. If you're definitely in the market for one, you can become a patron of Ryan's, and yeah, you can get even more entries that way. It's a cool hammer this time around. They're all cool, but this one I saw in advance and it's pretty wild.
Yeah, cool. I haven't seen it yet.
I know. I asked him last night. I was like, dude, I'm recording tomorrow. What is getting given away? I want to be able to drum it up. And he's like, oh, it's going to be like this one. And he showed me like a video of one, and it's pretty cool. It's very cool. So if you're on the fence, join our patronage and you're entered.
Yeah, I still have to use my my dog head.
Well, you have to get out in the shop before you can start using it.
Yeah, that's true.
Nah. I say that as I have two half done nightstands out there that I haven't finished.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, if you want to find Tony, he's at Woodland Iron. I'm at Blackthorn Concepts. Both of us can be found at Working Hands Podcast on Instagram. You can find Tony again on TikTok over there at Working Hands 3. Or what would be most appreciated is if you rate and review the show. 5 stars is always appreciated. We'll read it out here, unless you ask us not to, but 5-star reviews are king for us, as well as sharing the show with all of your friends. If you made it this far, go ahead and share the show in your Instagram stories. We'd appreciate that. With that, we're going to head on over to the after show. We will talk to you guys next week.
Later.